There's another drug. Another drug they don't tell you is a drug. It's a class 4 narcotic.
Deadpan.
And the only warning they have on them...
Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Don't listen to...
Because if you're pregnant, bullshit, that's how you got pregnant, number one. And some people say...
Jack Mangan.
I'm a functioning...
Deadpanite.
Which is, you can be one. It's like being a paraplegic lap dancer. You can do it. Just not as well as the others, really. And they say...
Deadpan.
...is peer pressure. Bullshit. Peer pressure for...
Deadpanites.
Because... Come here.
Hey, it's Deadpan. Number 239, in fact. I'm your host, Jack Mangan. And from the images below, choose the one that is displayed on page 42 of the manual to start this episode. So we actually have a whole bunch of voicemails, and thank you to each of you who called in. We've apparently offended Crazy Joe, or, well, I've offended Crazy Joe by talking out of turn, actually about a franchise or a TV show and a film that I have not seen, and calling them crappy, just based on their reputation. So, he's probably right, but, you know, he puts me in my place in an entertaining way, and spreads knowledge. And we also actually have a whole bunch of stuff from Amy, who did some traveling and gave us a bunch of airport updates, which are always fun, and it has been a while.
Good morning, Deadpan. This is Amy Bowen, a.k.a. the Deadpan Ambassador, bringing you Amy Bowen's Airport Update, Season 4, 5, possibly 6. When it's been so long since you've done a segment that you can't remember what season you're on, it's been a pretty long time since you've done a segment. For those of you who are new, Amy Bowen's Airport Update chronicles my travels across the country and the world whenever I happen to be flying somewhere. Today is Monday, May 13th, when I'm recording this, and I am traveling from Southern California to Omaha, Nebraska, with a connection in Las Vegas, Nevada. I am visiting some friends of the family out there in Omaha, and it is about 6:43 a.m. Pacific time as I'm recording this. I have an entire hour before my flight departure time, which I am planning to spend doing some writing work that I've had hanging over my head for the past almost a week. And the quiet morning here at Ontario Airport, and I'm looking forward to a great trip, and I will call with Season 4, 5, 6, whatever, Episode 2, when I've landed in Las Vegas and found my gate. It's great to talk to you all. Bye.
You know, for a second I went, oh my god, Amy has a date in Las Vegas. But no, she said gate, not date, gate. So we'll get to that stuff. We'll get to a bit that's been a long time in the making, and that's finally going to make an appearance here. And I might even steal some audio from the Deadpan meetup, which was a few weeks ago now. Still kind of buzzing in my head, because it was a great time. It was great seeing you all in person. And you out there, if assuming you're still listening, you can expect to hear more audio from that get-together in upcoming episodes. Oh, and we're also going to get to the Ear Buddies. And yeah, you know, we're going to have a little talk about that, you and I.
11 months. 7 gamers. 6 editions. 1 massive campaign. All Games Considered proudly presents the RPG Buffets Super Duper Ultra Turbo Mega Maxi Multi-Edition Crossover Dungeons & Dragons Campaign. From Chainmail to 4th Edition in 2010.
What do you mean elf is a class?
Well, you see, it's like this.
What in blue blazes is a Thaco?
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 Oh, Thaco. It's pronounced Thaco. That's easy. It stands for...
Hey, I'm playing the cleric, but there's no gods listed.
Oh, that's nothing. Did you see the part where the book tells you to actually draw the numbers on your dice with a crayon?
Oh, the good old days.
Hey, did you guys see this magic missile spell? It never misses. How cool is that?
Join us for all this and more at All Games Considered. Listen in at www.agcpodcast.info.
Hello. Just letting you know that all of us pixies listen to Jack Mangan's Deadpan.
That's right. All of the pixies love Jack Mangan, and Deadpan is the pixie listening way.
Hello, Deadpan. This is Amy Bowen's Airport Update Season 4, or possibly 5. Episode 1.1. This is an addendum to my previous voicemail. I just wanted to sing the praises of Southwest Airlines and their airport amenities. They set up little countertops with AC and USB power outlets on them with little stools. So people like me who want to work on their laptops can work on their laptops on a table and even plug them in. Also, Ontario Airport now has blanket-free Wi-Fi, and it is very cool, so it's going to be a fun morning. I'll talk to you when I get to Vegas. Bye.
Jack, it is Crazy Joe, listening to the most recent Unshow. Did you just call Rocky Balboa a terrible movie? Oh, my God, Jack, you poor, misguided gentleman. Rocky Balboa is without question far and away the best Rocky movie after the original. The original is the best. But Rocky Balboa is the best of the sequels. It's the only one of the sequels that actually had something to say. Now, don't get me wrong, I love Rocky III. I'm a hardcore Till I Die Mr. T fan, but Rocky III was a cartoon. Rocky Balboa had something to say about getting older and not quitting. It had one of the greatest speeches in movie history. It's not about how hard you hit, it's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done! Oh my God, that is one of the greatest inspirational speeches of all time. And I gotta tell you, that speech got me through my divorce. It got me through when my father was sick. I could just watch that speech and take it to heart. That movie is inspirational. It's smart. It's well written. That is a tremendous movie. And let me tell you something. I'm not a hockey fan, but I live in Philadelphia, and I will sacrifice a Flyers win. Put this out to the world. I think the Flyers should lose if it means more. Oh no! Wait. How does it work? If they win, more people have to watch it. Okay, then go Flyers. Because everyone should have to watch Rocky Balboa. And if the Flyers winning means everyone's got to watch Rocky Balboa, I will jump on the hockey bandwagon and say, go Flyers, because even though I don't care about hockey, that's a movie that the world should see. That is a 4-star film, my friend. Rocky Balboa. In fact, most of these movies that people have to watch if the team wins sound like really good movies, like The Cutting Edge isn't something I'd want to watch. But Predators. That's a good movie. And there were in Cocoon, you said. There's several good movies on this list. I think you guys should be picking, like terrible movies. Like, if my team wins, you have to watch, what's that awful movie from Richard Kelly? Southland Tales or The Box. Anything that guy made is pure shit. You take your pick. Or the remake of Halloween by Rob Zombie. I mean, these are the kind of movies that just make your eyes want to bleed. But that's just me. Maybe I'm just an evil, evil individual who wants to make people suffer, so I make them watch Southland Tales or Rob Zombie's Halloween. I don't know. Might just be me. Maybe I'm a pervert. I'm just a simple man who likes simple pleasures, like lollipops in my mouth.
You are listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Deadpan is a motherfucking wee. All rocks destroyed in the making of this bumper deserved it.
Since The Avengers is out at the time of this episode's release, and it's currently on every bored interneter's mind, I've actually gone back and dug into the Rainy Day content archives, you know, the Deadpan comedy archives, and retrieved a bit with an Iron Man joke in it that I should have released like a year ago, or however long I wrote it. But I do want to get the joke out now before some Facebook wank comes up with it and then, you know, they get the credit. So, on to the bit. Now to get some iron in your diet. The butterfly effect is a theory which describes the potential space-time continuum effects of time traveling to the prehistoric era and killing one butterfly. The iron butterfly effect is a theory which describes the potential space-time continuum effects of time traveling to the prehistoric era and playing a 25-minute drum solo. Star Trek original series fans know that to save the Earth, you need to go back in time and let Joan Collins die, like in the episode City on the Edge of Forever. Drunken Star Trek fans from Pittsburgh know that to save the Earth, you have to go back in time and get Joan Collins wasted on cheap fizzy beer in Iron City on the Edge of Forever. That's fucking terrible. When Tony Stark retired and turned his powered armor suit over to his Jewish colleague, the hero was henceforth known as Iron Manischewitz. Of course, if Tony Stark lent his suit to the head of S.H.I.E.L.D., would Nick Fury then become ironic? God, that joke is even fucking worse. I'll get Van's powered armor suit. It's like 2 million spoons when all you need is a knife. It's like avoiding the dirty shish kebab cart and then dying of food poisoning from the shawarma at the upscale restaurant. Isn't it ironic, don't you think? It's like having one relevant album and then getting chosen by Kevin Smith to play God in his eclectic religious statement movie. It's like having a whole plate of French fries but no ketchup bottles or packets. It's like meeting a grade B Canadian celebrity guy through your gig on a quirky kids TV show, being that guy's wild child Lolita, then being a spurned fatal attraction type when he dumps you and moves on to a more serious relationship with someone else. It's like a female pop singer who looks like a love child between Ronnie James Dio and Joey Belladonna with a song that borrows the opening riff from Ronnie's The Last in Line. It's like having to type up a review of the Anaconda movie on a keyboard missing the letter A. Who would have thought it figures? It's like an obscure podcast lampooning a silly pop song from about 15 years ago. It's like Huey Lewis saying he won't write a song specifically for a movie, then putting a song called Back in Time on the Back to the Future soundtrack. That fucking liar. It's like building a Lego car but running out of wheel pieces. It's like watching Nigella Lawson's cooking show and not fixating on her boobs. It's like wearing a Brooks Brothers suit with a clip-on tie. Well, life has a funny way. It's like selling your hair to buy someone a watch when they've sold their watch to buy you a comb. No, that actually is ironic. It's like having one hand in your pocket while the other is hailing a taxi cab. It's like a podcast bit that goes on and on into tedious repetition. And you know what? Yes, that whole bit was really just to get Iron Manischewitz out there. Iron Manischewitz.
Hello, Deadpan. This is Amy Bowen, a.k.a. the Deadpan Ambassador. This is Amy Bowen's Airport Update. Season 4, or possibly 5, I think. Episode 2. I've just landed at McCarran International Airport in Las Vegas. I'm changing planes here, and I'm going from a C gate to a B gate. So far, it's looking like I get to walk. I may or may not get to take the little airport train that goes between the terminals. The Las Vegas airport is huge, and I don't think I've been to it before that I can remember. My parents' stories were right. It does have slot machines, which kind of weirds me out a little bit, even though I've been to Las Vegas itself many times. I've always driven here. The other cool thing about it is these things called Best Buy Express, which are vending machines with things like cameras and headphones and other small things you can get at Best Buy in them. It looks really cool. So it's about 8:41. My next flight isn't until 9:45, and I'm still walking to get to the B gates. I'm following the arrows. So this is the end of what I guess will be episode 2.1. If I do get to take one of the trains, I'll call back. Okay, bye.
Hey, Jack, Crazy Joe again. I got cut off on my last message. I was just going to wrap it up by saying, I'm a simple man who likes simple pleasures, like lollipops in my mouth or butter in my ass. Maybe I'm a pervert. That's just something I enjoy. Have a good day. Bye.
So where does Jack Mangan fit into your musical life? In my iTunes, he's sandwiched between the Jay Giles Band and the Jackson 5. This is just a Joe.
All right, so we've been doing two things around Deadpan. One of them is actually, as Crazy Joe talked about earlier, we've assigned movies to teams in the NHL playoffs. And, you know, the idea was to do crappy movies, but obviously some of the movies that have been assigned were personal favorites. They weren't all shit-ass movies. Some of them were. Really, they were just movies that hopefully had something to do, even a tiny connection to the team. In some cases, I think it's just movies that the people liked. Anyway, I think some of us have been pretty good about that. Used Hair, watched Made in Manhattan, because the Ottawa Senators were his team, and they lost to the Rangers. Lopan assigned Made in Manhattan and the Warriors to the Rangers. And the Energizer Bunny had picked... Who did she pick? She picked the team that the Coyotes beat, and so she had to watch The Cutting Edge... Actually, she watched The Cutting Edge 3, but that's fine. She could have watched that or the Phoenix Lights documentary. And those are the movies as selected for the Phoenix Coyotes by Desert Pixie. There's more of us. And, you know, you don't really have to. If you want to send audio into Deadpan, I encourage it, but you don't have to. If you watch and own up to it, hell, I suppose you could even lie. But really, really, the Energizer Bunny did a play-by-play and Used Hair. I think he's in therapy now for Made in Manhattan. And actually, I picked two teams in these playoffs. As of this recording, my New Jersey Devils are still in it, in a very heated contest with the New York Rangers. And I picked also the Nashville Predators, who I was very happy to see lose to the Phoenix Coyotes. So I will also have to choose between watching the Phoenix Lights or the Cutting Edge. And in fact, you know, because it's Deadpan, I've composed a little limerick, or I guess a few limericks, to describe the current situation. How the Devs beat the Panthers, I truly don't have any answers. But thanks to Brodeur, I don't have to endure Donna Michi Breakdancer. But for me, that's not all she wrote. Because the Preds lost to the Yotes, I must watch Phoenix Lights or figure skaters in tights. So did Bunny, she watched and took notes. Lopan has the Rangers and Lowe says, if they win, I must watch Jennifer Lopez. Come out and play Yay or Matthew McConaughey. Too bad New York traded Scott Gomez. You know, I looked it up after writing that limerick, and I realized that Matthew McConaughey is in a different stupid J-Lo movie. But, you know, fuck it.
Hey, Jack, it's Crazy Joe. I just heard the latest episode, and did you just call the Avengers cartoon on Disney XD seemingly terrible? Gotta tell you, you are very wrong there. It's actually a terrific show. It's a lot of people are actually very upset right now because the rumor is Disney XD is canceling it in order to make way for a silly Avengers cartoon that breaks the fourth wall and does all kinds of goofy Family Guy type antics because there's a terrible, terrible, terrible Spider-Man series on Disney XD now paired up with Avengers that takes that approach. And everybody loves Avengers and everybody hates Spider-Man, but for some odd reason the Jack Wagons in charge decided to cancel the show everyone likes to make it more like the show nobody likes. It's a strange that makes decisions for a network, but that's the way it is.
Jack Mangan's Deadpan. The coolest thing to hit your computer since you spilled that cold soda last week.
Jack Mangan's Deadpan. Pop in your earbud.
Yep. Earbuds. So I actually have a bunch of incomplete pairs. And so you know what? We're going to run a half of a pair. Because our poor brother Lo Pan actually had two people who are taking their time to get back to him. Back to him, I should say. And both of you guys out there who are taking a long time to get back to Lo Pan, you still can. However, I'm going to run Lo Pan's, or at least part of Lo Pan's, half of the deal. I'm going to run what Lo Pan has sent me. And hopefully that'll encourage you guys out there to get in your Ear Buddies content. And, you know, if I sound cranky about it, that's just my natural state.
This is Lo Pan with an Ear Buddies segment. The song that I sent my Ear Buddy is from the band The Bunny the Bear. The song is called Isle and is from 2010's If You Don't Have Anything Nice to Say. This is a band that I discovered not too long ago at all and that I simply adore. And frankly, I could have picked any one of the songs from this album to do a segment for, but I chose Isle, and lyrically, the song, to me at least, is about marriage, or rather the institution of, you know, why people rush into it, or why people find it necessary, or why, inevitably, it's unnecessary. For instance, my favorite lyrics actually are from the chorus, and they go, "Now is the time, run for the aisle. Open your eyes, we won't get out of here. Pretty and white, now wait for a smile. We are so lonely, we've wrapped ourselves up in fear." Now this really, really got to me. Whether I agree with the statement or not, it's truly powerful, and I know it's not a unique way of looking at marriage, but it's a relevant one. Musically, I do love the mash of elements here. There's rock, techno, death metal, new wave, you know, but the dual vocals are really what stand out for this band. Just think Mars Volta meets Fear Factory. And the fact that there's actually two accomplished vocalists here, not just one, give the vibe a wonderful call and response flavor, and I simply love it. You know, it's really a shame this band isn't bigger. From what I understand, they can't keep a consistent lineup, and I believe this is the first year they've been able to afford to headline a tour. But, that being said, they do have a new album out this month, actually, that I'm really looking forward to, and hopefully soon the world will learn more about this band, because they really deserve it.
Hello, Deadpan. This is Amy Bowen, a.k.a. the Deadpan Ambassador. This is Amy Bowen's Airport Update, Season 4 or 5 or possibly 6, Episode 2.2. I have made it to Gate B10 here at Las Vegas McCarran International Airport. It's a very, very long walk between concourses C and B through a very long hallway that connects them, with only a couple of moving walkways. It is very busy here, but there's plenty of seating, and there are lots of shops and restaurants and kiosks to get stuff from. I will be here for, so, about 30 or 45 minutes, probably, before they'll start letting us board. And no incidents or complications this trip. I'll call one more time when I land in Omaha. Have a great day. Bye.
There once was a hobbit with hairy feet named the Energizer Bunny Baggins, who inherited a powerful magic ring from her uncle Ditto, who said, before disappearing on his 71st birthday, "Teb, I recently read a book from a Calgary sports writer, Bruce Dowbiggin. Have you read any of his stuff?" But then the wizard Lopan the Grey visited Teb and said, "That's awesome. Unfortunately for here, the clouds waited until just the right time to tell us, no, you ain't seeing this. Clouds are assholes," warning her about the ring's terrible power, and how the Dark Lord Sauron was sending out an evil army of servants and orcs to find it. The wizard Lopan then noticed the Energizer Bunny's friend and gardener, John Bowes, eavesdropping on their conversation. When Lopan the Grey caught the gardener, John Bowes whimpered and said, "Thanks for all the wishes. Not that anyone asked, but the farm girl was pretty tasty. Would make for a pleasant session beer. However, I had a standard Summit extra pale with the burger. The Saison would not have held up to the burger." So the two friends set out on a quest with the ring to get to Jack Mangan Half-Elven's house in Rivendell, while the wizard went off to investigate further. On their journey, they ran into two more hobbit friends named Vanamond and Espy. Vanamond said, "I can pick up Diablo 3 for about 12 quid cheaper than buying the game digitally from Blizzard. Sigh." And they decided to tag along. The four friends had some scares and were closely watched when they stopped at the Prancing Pony Inn, where they met the mysterious ranger named Retro, a.k.a. Strider, who gave them a stern warning, saying, http://www.youtube.com/watch?v=GJFKHTTU7GW. Espy, the hobbit, complained and said, "I'd prefer a Larry David-authored Star Trek novel," but was grateful when Retro, a.k.a. Strider, saved them a few times from Black Riders. The Energizer Bunny was badly wounded on the final attack, however, and they had to rush toward Rivendell, in the hopes that the healing magic of the elves could save her. In her delirious, wounded state, Teb said weakly, "My former boss is griefing me about Diablo 3 being out, and I can't play it until after my work is done. Sometimes people can be so mean," winking smiley. To be continued. Oh, the first comment anyone made about this whole adventure at the Prancing Pony on that week was, "Oh, for a hydrovac jetpack," from Vanamond. All right, so Amy Ambassador, does look like we're going to hold off on the second half of your travel adventures. That will happen in the next full-length episode. Possibly along with the meetup audio, or possibly not. And what do we learn today? That earbuddies are owed, and that there are more films to be watched, including some by me. Going to close out with some music and not come back after the music. Thank you again for listening. Deadpan is the mush. Good night, the way.
Red Marchetta.
All right, play YYZ.
Is on the grass. The lunatic is on the grass. Remember.
There is no dark side of the moon, really. As a matter of fact, it's all
there's dark. Only brain damage.
Aren't there Transformers now?
That's true.
No.
Not anymore.
It's only animals.
Yes. So. Lejon!
No rehearsal.
Used hair had made in Manhattan, because Ottawa got flattened. Amy's team did lose, so it's Affleck or Cruz because of New Jersey's trapping. It's Predators or Bo and Luke, for Rhett, since the Red Wings were flukes. Kings beat the Canucks, and now Van is stuck, watching Cheech, but at least it's not the Dukes. For Ditto, it's X-Files or Pecker, but poor Sinful, let's not forget her. Since the Penguins got cocky, it's the Village or Rocky. I think Ditto's choices are better. Sorry, Crazy Joe. I'll give it a chance.